Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. LA, appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Oh, man, Mason and Ireland crosstalk. 100%. If they think it's awkward, I can't tell you how awkward it is for me. You want to talk about just different personalities? You can't have any more different personalities than Mason, Ireland, and Sliwa. Completely different personalities. I walk in there, it's a road game every time. Every time. Is what it is. I think it's one of those two where you're trying to learn from two that have been doing it for such a long time. And let's just say I'll just roll up my sleeves, keep coming back to work. But man, that half hour with Mason and Ireland, let's just say there are some there's some interesting moments when we're doing that. Quick rundown of the show. Kirk Morrison is going to co-host with me from 7 to 8 o'clock. So we'll get an hour with Kirk Morrison. Great time to have, I think, important conversations, deep conversations. Kirk Morrison, obviously, a former player in the NFL. I think he can also talk a lot of, I want to get his opinion about a lot of these topics that are going on right now, and specifically, not just around the world of sports, but what's going on in our country. These protests that are going on, not just in the country, not just in LA, but around the world. So I'm looking forward to talk to Kirk Morrison and get his thoughts on everything going on. Bill Shaken of the LA Times, he'll come on in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll talk some baseball. So we'll have an opportunity to definitely get into all the sports that are relevant right now. We'll hit on the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll continue to hit on the NBA and their plan to come back late July or so, where the regular season would start. This is how I do want to start the show. I did mention, you know, over the last week or so, I mentioned on a couple different occasions, I'm just going to use Twitter as an example, but I'll give you guys just my observation over the last week. One of my problems with what's happening right now in society is, man, we are so quick to point the finger at people and tell them they're wrong. We're so quick to criticize people and try to find their faults. We're so quick to jump on, I mentioned Twitter, right? Twitter as just an example, Twitter and Instagram, and try to take people down. I think one of the things that is important, and I fall into this category. Sometimes you know what you know. And it's okay to admit that there's things that you don't know. And hopefully there's people out there that are going to teach you things along the way, teach you, you know, along that process. There's an old saying, and it's a great saying, teach, don't preach. Now I think is such an important time for people to be open to learning. And I'm talking specifically of what's going on as far as the injustice in this country, police brutality, people voicing their opinions right now, people stepping up and speaking because they feel like, oh my gosh, if there's ever a time, and I'm talking specifically, you know, Black Lives Matter, African Americans, that definitely feel that racism not only just still exists in this country, but, you know, we know it, we see it, we're watching all these videos unfold, you know, on Twitter, Instagram, or on TV, whatever the case is. So one of the things that I think is so important is right now is such an opportunity to learn. If you're open to learning, trust me, there are many, many ignorant people out there that don't want to learn. Those are people you can't help unless they choose that they want to do it. But there are also genuine people who just don't know enough. There's genuine people out there, they just don't know any better. And what I'm referring to here, and this I think comes down to this, are you an individual that's willing to learn? Are you open to learning? I feel like the only thing that I see when I go on social media right now is just all criticism. Just right off the bat, you're wrong, I'm right, you're this, I'm that. It's one of those that I feel when I spend time, a lot of times when I go on social media, one of the things I'm trying to do when I'm on Twitter or I'm on Instagram or one of those things, or one of those social platforms. I'm trying to just kind of, okay, see what's going on, get updated with the news. Of course, right now it's dominated by either some of these specific police brutality videos, people laying in their opinion, news networks obviously putting information out, unbelievable news networks finding footage and putting it out as well. And I tie it all back to sports because sports has kind of been on the forefront. What I mean by that is big time athletes and players are speaking their mind right now. And big time players and athletes are also, I'll use Drew Brees as an example. Let's use Brees as this is a perfect example. Drew Brees looked at kneeling at the flag only through his lens. He never looked at it through Colin Kaepernick's lens, right? Drew Brees was in the league with Colin Kaepernick. He's been in the league since 2001. This is going to be a great conversation too. I want to have with Kirk Morrison a little bit later in the show. But he's been obviously in the league for a number of years. And it's been 4 years since Colin Kaepernick, since 2017, since Colin Kaepernick's been out of the NFL. But since March of 2016 is when Colin Kaepernick started voicing his opinion. Hey, this is what's going on. He's trying to raise awareness for police brutality. I use Brees as an example simply because of this. I don't know Drew Brees. All I could go off of is what his perception was, how people would talk about him, what does he do for the community. And for the most part, up until the last couple of days, I really had never heard anything about Drew Brees being a bad person. So I'm not sure if he's a good person or a bad person, but I think, you know, if you ask those or if you asked a week ago, maybe the conversation most likely is going to be that he's not a good person. Or I'm sorry, that he is a good person. Do I think he's ignorant? I do. Do I think he's uneducated on Colin Kaepernick, police brutality? No question about it, I do. But do I think there are a lot of people who can learn from his mistake? Absolutely. And I just mentioned that because, man, the time that I spend on these social media platforms, there is nothing but negativity. I don't know. Like I go back and look. I'm like, maybe was that just how Twitter was? Was Twitter always like this? Was this just... this is how it's always been, so what am I talking about? Now, don't get me wrong. There are also those who have showed their true colors in a time like this. And what I'm referring to is, I don't know Jake Fromm, quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, but it was reported earlier today. Text message came out back in 2019, him and a friend exchanging texts. But no guns are good. They need to let me get suppressors before adding, just make them very expensive so only elite white people can get them. Okay. That came out. I don't know who Jake Fromm is behind closed doors or the type of person that he is, but definitely that's an individual that's going to have to clean up his image. Alexander Katai, midfielder of the Galaxy, was released earlier today because of his wife. She had posted racially insensitive tweets on Instagram. So listen, it's out there, and I think it's getting more and more exposed. This is the way I look at life, right? Versus wrong. That's it. Not what your skin color is, not where you're from, not your religious beliefs. What's right versus what's wrong. And typically, I think you can get by pretty far in life if you just kind of go with your gut, and then you know you obviously you not convince yourself, but you do everything you can to determine what's right and wrong. But I'd also be full of it if I told you that I understand everyone and their ethnicity. I don't, and that's okay. I think this is even for me, and I think there's a lot of people out there. I never had an issue with Colin Kaepernick kneeling because I knew enough why he was doing it. I knew that he wasn't doing it, in my opinion, because he was disrespecting the flag or he was trying to disrespect the troops. Now, there are plenty of others that think, okay, but no matter what your initiative is, if you do that, then you're disrespecting the flag. Well, I was on the side of Kaepernick. I always thought to myself, like, no, he's just trying to raise awareness for something, and this is how he's choosing to do it. I say all this because what a great opportunity right now to teach. You know what I mean? What a great opportunity right now not to criticize. This is an opportunity. We don't have too many of these where there's this much awareness, this much attention towards something that obviously needs the attention. I mention all that because I'm sure there's a lot we can all learn at a time like this. I was just looking on, watching TV during Crosstalk, got the TV on in the background, There's still protests going on. Obviously, this is still going to be a conversation. It's not going away, and it shouldn't go away. Because at the end of the day, there's no point of having all this, and then it just goes back to the norm. But also, let's try and teach rather than preach. There's a lot that we can all learn. And from my personal perspective, it's an incredible opportunity to learn some things that many people out there, if they're open to learning, can walk away and look at life a lot different. NFL players had a video that was pretty damn powerful, and it's definitely making a statement. Also, Roger Goodell talked earlier today as well. He put out a statement. I think it was on Twitter. So let's. I want to play both of those. I think there's definitely a comparison there when you listen to both of them. We'll do that coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, Kirk Morrison coming up at 7 o'clock. NFL players put out a video, and this was a statement that it was actually a really beautiful thing to do. There's a number of the young players too. Odell Beckham Jr. is on there. Saquon Barkley's on there. One of those videos where I feel for these athletes who obviously are empowered right now. They feel, oh man, if there's ever a time that we can express ourselves and our message can be heard, they're taking advantage of it. They should. This is the platform they should be taking care of, or they should be taking advantage of. I mentioned this, you know, during the week. I think even yesterday I was talking about it, how LeBron's doing it, Kuz is doing it. They don't have to. Nobody's forcing them to do this. They're doing it because they choose to. They're doing it because they feel like it's the right thing to do. And I think it could definitely have an impact. So I'm going to play two clips here. First one is the NFL players video, and the second will be Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL. First, want to play the videos on this statement for the NFL.
It's been 10 days since George Floyd was brutally murdered.
How many times do we need to ask you to listen to your players?
What will it take
for one of us to be murdered by police brutality?
What if I was George Floyd?
If I was George Floyd?
What if I was George Floyd?
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 I am George Floyd.
I am Breonna Taylor.
I am Ahmaud Arbery.
I am Eric Garner.
I am Laquan McDonald.
I am Tamir Rice.
I am Trayvon Martin.
I am Walter Scott.
I am Michael Brown Jr.
I am Samuel Du Bois.
I am Frank Smart.
I'm Philip White.
I am Jordan Baker.
We will not be silenced.
We assert our right to peacefully protest.
It shouldn't take this long to admit.
So, on behalf of the National Football League,
this is what we, the players,
would like to hear you state.
We, the National Football League,
condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people.
We, the National Football League,
admit wrong in silencing our players from peacefully protesting.
We, the National Football League,
believe black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter. Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
That's beautiful and that's powerful. And that's the players. That's the players taking a stand on their own. We've had this conversation about Colin Kaepernick over the last couple of days, and it's a fair conversation to have. We should have it. You know, I was mentioning this I think it was on Wednesday. I was talking about how here's a player that stood up for something he believed in. What happened? He got blackballed from the league. And now you see this movement coming. And you see this movement from the players. That's what I like seeing the most. I like when the players are active. I really do. It's more powerful. By the way, fans aren't going out to go see Roger Goodell at a football game. Fans aren't going out to go go see the owners and go cheer for the owners. They're going for the players. So when the players feel something, when the players are pushing an initiative, that's big time. That's everything. That means everything. Here's Roger Goodell. Because the NFL players, like I mentioned, they had a video telling the league, we will not be silenced. Here's the NFL on their not their response to them, just their response in general to everything that's going on, to the protests, to Black Lives Matter, to trying to inspire change. Here's Roger Goodell from the NFL.
It has been a difficult time for our country, in particular, black people in our country. First, my condolences to the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and all the families who have endured police brutality. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier, and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe Black Lives Matter. I personally protest with you and want to be part of the much-needed change in this country. Without Black players, there would be no National Football League. And the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of Black players, coaches, fans, and staff. We are listening. I am listening. And I will be reaching out to players who have raised their voices and others on how we can improve and go forward for a better and more united NFL family.
That's Roger Goodell right there. So, listen, I'll say this about Goodell. I think there's already a lot of fans that don't have the best taste in their mouth when you think of Goodell. I think there's a lot of players that feel the same way. Roger Goodell is not the most liked commissioner. We know that. There's certain commissioners right now. I think Adam Silver might be the most popular one just simply because I think the league feels and fans feel like he's got the best interest of everybody. He's thoughtful with his approach. He's thoughtful with how he feels. It feels genuine. I'm not saying that Roger Goodell shouldn't come out with a statement. I'm not saying Roger Goodell and the NFL, by no means am I saying that they don't have good intentions and they want to find a way to help. But I also, would say talk is cheap. A couple days ago, there's NFL coaches coming out now saying, yeah, Colin Kaepernick, I really respect what he was doing. There's more and more people coming out. Yeah, we got it wrong. We had it wrong. Talk is cheap. So when I hear Roger Goodell say, we're in this, we're going to make it happen, Black Lives Matter, I don't doubt what he's saying, but just show it. When I mentioned in the video that that includes Odell Beckham Jr. and Deshaun Watson's on there, DeAndre Hopkins, I mentioned Saquon Barkley, Patrick Mahomes is on there. It's a powerful video. But I guess the issue that I have is with Roger Goodell, there isn't that trust factor. There isn't that trust factor because you had a player in the league. Colin Kaepernick was in the league and still to this day does not have a job for the exact reason this entire country is protesting for right now. And by the way, that's not stopping. That doesn't look like it's going anywhere anytime soon. And that's the way you make change, right? If it's just this is popular for a few days and then it's over, then nobody has to change. But if the pressure is there and you're putting all these, whether it's the police force or anything like that, there's pressure on them to make sure that they change their ways, okay, that's where we can really, really get change. I want to play one more clip here, and then these are all going to be great conversations with Kirk Morrison. He's coming up at 7 o'clock. I'd love to get his opinion. I'd love to get Kirk's opinion on a couple of things, all right? Number one, one of the main things is I want to ask him just how he feels about the current state. Are we going in the right direction? And also from an NFL perspective, what does he think of Goodell's video? What does he think of the players' video? Those are all important. Those are extremely important. And it's a former NFL player that can do that. One individual today that dominated Twitter, and I'm not sure if you guys got a chance to listen to this, but it's all on the same, obviously on the same conversation. So ESPN analyst Maria Taylor, who was on First Take this morning. So she's on with Kellerman and she's on with Stephen A. Smith. Whether you're listening to, all these, whatever show it was today on 710 ESPN or just on Twitter and Instagram, if you haven't got a chance to hear it, I want you to listen because this is specifically about what's going on right now. And it's also about Drew Brees' apology from yesterday. And I love getting this perspective from Maria Taylor. And if you just listen to her passion, you listen to her voice, doesn't get more genuine than this. Here's ESPN analyst Maria Taylor on First Take.
Let me be clear. I don't know about his heart either, but I know what should reside in your heart is empathy. And I don't believe that you have to be trolled and dragged through Twitter and Instagram in order to change your mind and realize that what you said was intolerant and or could be considered insensitive later. If you had been educated and forced to confront the issues and, like I said, had empathy in your heart, then you would have known the Black experience is not easy, especially when 70% of your league is African American, and these are the conversations that you should have had. So maybe it's not his whole heart's bad, but something about empathy was off if the first thing out of his mouth was it's disrespectful. I will not tolerate anything that is disrespectful to our nation and the flag. That was the first thing. Now, if you would have came out and said, oh, well, you know, I understand why it happens and I understand the meaning of protest and why we need it. However, XYZ, but that's not the way it went down in that conversation. And it wasn't a quote in a magazine. It wasn't a quote in a newspaper. And I'm exhausted and I'm tired of having to listen to someone say something like that and then have to sit back and be like, well, maybe he didn't. Maybe it's not his heart and it's this and it's that. When you reveal yourself to me and you say something like that and you say it out of an intolerant mind and or heart or a non-empathetic heart. And for the last 5 years, all we've done is see countless deaths in the street. My patience left my body when I watched George Floyd take his last breath. So if that didn't affect you and make you want to reassess the way that you're going to address a question that includes racial injustice in our country after you watch that man die in the middle of the street, something's off. I don't know if it's your heart. I don't know if it's your mind. But I don't accept either of them anymore. I will not tolerate it anymore. And Drew Brees, I will accept your apology, but I don't have to sit here and wonder what is wrong or what is right and guess if you're a good or bad person. I am not the judge and or the jury. All I can do is let you reveal yourself. And countless people are doing that right now. And for the first time ever, they are reaping some kind of consequence that does not have any retaliation for me or the people that are calling them out. For the first time, I feel like I can go on TV and say certain things. For the first time, people feel that they can tweet certain things and people can be held accountable for the things that they are putting on display in the. And I'm not going to apologize for that.
All right. That's Maria Taylor on First Take. So that goes back to my point of, like she was mentioning right there at the end, I feel like for the first time I can speak my mind. I could speak my opinion. I could go on Twitter. I could go on Instagram. I could actually voice how I feel and somebody's going to be listening. People are going to be listening. This is the time. If there's ever a time to do it, when I continue to kind of spread that message, when the players do it, damn, that's powerful. And the players are doing it. And it's nice to see the NFL players come out with that video. And it's also great to hear from Maria Taylor on her take on it as well. 710 ESPN wants to salute all of our frontline workers as part of our Thank You Thursdays presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know someone who is working as a healthcare provider, a firefighter, EMS worker, or a food service professional, nominate him or her today. Here's how you do it. Email the station, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. with your first and last name, city, and occupation, or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift to include a $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, $100 gift card to Wingstop, VSLiquor.com, and Shooteria.com. So we appreciate the partners, and we, of course, appreciate our frontline workers. We'd love to highlight them every Thursday. Kirk Morrison, when we come back, we'll talk NFL. We'll talk about just the current state of everything going on right now. I'd love to get Kirk Morrison's opinion. Excited to have him on the show. That's coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
That was Van Lathan from earlier in the week. What Van does not understand is him and I haven't played together in years. And those days are over, my man. Those days are over. I haven't played basketball in 3 months. But I did see, Jess, if I'm right, do you guys see this? The gyms are opening it back up next week.
Yep, next Friday, gyms are opening up, and I already said goodbye to my friend because now he's going to turn into a gym rat. I told him goodbye. It was nice to reconnect with you during the quarantine. Into the gym abyss he goes.
Well, this is what would be interesting is what the new measures are going to be. You know, I mean, just think about the way you would go to the gym before. You're on the elliptical, elliptical's right next to each other. You're lifting weights. Everybody's grabbing the same weights. You're, you know, look, you're sweating. I mean, on the basketball floor, you got 10 people running up and down. They're screaming all over the place, yelling it was a foul like it's a real game. All that stuff is going to be different at the gym. I'm curious how they open it back up. A lot of these gyms, think of a gym. I think Planet Fitness is the one where their model is built off people not coming. What I mean by that is they have these monthly memberships, right? And they could be like between $10 and $15. If everybody came, then, you know, I think they only have capacity for like 10%, right, of the memberships that they have. But they know people are going to come at different times and however that all works. But, Jess, it would be interesting because you know, now we're in a world where everything's completely different, and what that structure is going to look like is going to be completely different.
Yeah. I think we hear him. I think he's on the line with us right now.
I think we got the man, the myth, the legend, Kirk Morrison. Kirk, what's going on, man?
What's up, fellas? How we doing on this Friday evening? How we doing? How we doing?
This is, man, you can't get any better. To be honest, let me not say that. It is, right. but it's a good, you know, it's a good Friday. I think for all of us, continuing to stay on top of the news, see what's going on, educate ourselves in the process. But, you know, also from a sports perspective, it's good, Kirk, to have some of that news come out yesterday that, you know, basketball, at least one of the major sports, is coming back. We'll see if baseball follows suit anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, we want professional sports back, right? And finally, you know, of the major three. And the major three we know is NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball. Right now, we know that the NFL is on the offseason, and yet, you know, they're still going to have news kind of trickle down. We've already covered the draft, me and you did already. We've covered now teams are reopening facilities, so now they'll be able to start, you know, working out. They've done the virtual thing, but they'll start working out. The NBA has really been on hiatus, but obviously they've started to reopen some of their facilities. We know the Lakers have for sure. And now they're going to have this AAU tournament, as I call it now. That's what it is, really. It's like an AAU tournament down at the Wide World of Disney, right? You're going to be there from, what, July 31st and hopefully through, what is that, about October 12th?
October 12th will be the last, the Game 7.
So, I mean, that's honestly an AAU tournament, but it's hope, right? And we're still talking about something that's almost still 2 months away. Well, a little less than 2 months away. And then Major League Baseball keeps stubbing its toe. And I've said it before. I said it earlier today. I really believe that baseball is digging its own grave, because if the NBA, when they do return on the 31st, if everything goes the way that they planned it out, they can now rule the summer, right? They can now occupy some real estate in which the NFL really had occupied when they opened training camps. We always called it the dog days of summer for Major League Baseball teams, because usually the hottest, time of the year. But if the NBA holds ratings and people are able to go indoors and watch, you're talking about the NBA now having to rethink their schedule and say, hey, we've never been a summer league. Well, a real summer league.
Sure.
But you know what? Could we change this around now? Can we move our dates a little bit? And I think this is what Major League Baseball has to worry about, because if the NBA has record numbers, right, in a time in which, hey, we can rule the space, and everybody's going to be doing what? Trying to get back some of the money lost in revenue from the season. And if you can find a space to do that in the summer, yeah, the NBA will be back, not just for the summer this year, but it may be for summers to come.
Kirk, you know the big difference right now between the NBA and Major League Baseball. Look, let's not pretend baseball isn't making money. $10-11 billion a year is what they generate. And
correct.
Listen, we understand how, right? 162 games a year for each team, 81 home games, all that TV money, all the money when they come in. Obviously, when they buy tickets and they go to Dodger Stadium or Angel Stadium. But one of the things that I think, you know, Kirk, that stands out to me with the NBA, there's a respect and a relationship between the players and the owners. There's a respect and a relationship between the commissioner and the players and vice versa, right?
Right.
Baseball, they don't have that. I mean, that's their – what? Tell me, Kirk, what relationship works if you don't have trust and, you know, you don't have this willing to kind of work together to come to an agreement and find a middle ground? What relationship works in any business, professional? Most of them don't work. And I feel for Major League Baseball, I feel for their fans, because here's a sport that could very well find a way to screw things up. And it's not going to be only based on COVID-19. It's also going to be just based on their economic, how they view things economically.
Right. I mean, it's at a point right now where they're extremely tone deaf, where we're talking about, you know, coming out of a pandemic, and a lot of people now have to watch how they spend their money. And you have millionaire players versus billionaire owners going at each other. I mean, that just doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. And if I'm a consumer, it definitely turns me off. Do I want to spend my wages on, you know, guys who almost really don't care about us? They're telling us that they don't care about the fans, the way they're bickering back and forth. And so now you have to find, I think, a space in which, where do you want to put your time at, right? Do you want to become a bigger NBA fan, or do you want to focus on the NFL, maybe the NFL fantasy football, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot now that you can take your mind off, and Major League Baseball is really, you know, it's dragging its heels. I mean, this is in 94, they had a strike, and look, I was turned off by that, even though baseball is my first love. But it took, you know, McGuire and Sammy Sosa and things like that to
and steroids.
Get everybody, yeah, and steroids to get people to watch again. But right now, it's already a sport, not necessarily that's dying, because Little League is still doing well, right? High school baseball, college, it is, but it's not one that, you know, people are watching, right, a lot. When you look at the World Series ratings compared to, you know, NFL regular season games, and you're like, wow, how is that? The NFL was beating them out, or the NBA. So, look, it is a time right now where they're at a crossroads, and hopefully they get something done. But you mentioned it again. The relationships that they have between owner and player. Not necessarily owner and player, but just commissioner and player. It's not the same as the NFL. It's not the same as the NBA, right? And then you're talking about a sport in which I feel like the agents are more powerful than the players at times.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. I think baseball, let's be honest, you know
when
the names
Scott
of
Boras
the agents.
Stocks,
yeah.
100%. You're turning your head like, what'd he say? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We know the agent's names more than we know some of the players. Oh, he's represented by who? Oh, man, he represents half the league. Right. So, you know, they've got some things that they need to work out. And at the end of the day, I mean, it's just almost they won't be forgotten. But yet I feel like the other sports are gaining traction while baseball is still stuck in mud for sure.
Well, here's the beauty. The beauty with the NBA, and we could hit on NBA a little bit further into the show. But here's the beauty with the NBA, Kirk. It's you felt like over the last let's actually even go back to when basketball stopped, right? It was like March 10th, 11th. Kind of led the way. It almost seemed like for the country. Like when the NBA stopped, everybody was like, okay, yeah, this is some serious stuff here.
Correct.
The NBA is postponing their season. Everybody kind of followed suit after
that.
Are
we still mad at Rudy Gobert, by the way?
You know, I that one was always...
Remember,
you know,
he was public enemy number one.
He
darn
was public
you,
enemy.
Rudy Gobert. We don't like you. And then remember, Donovan Mitchell tested positive for COVID. Have we moved on from that?
Sorry for the sidebar there. You know what, Kirk? A couple times, every time I've seen people be critical about Rudy Gobert,
yeah,
I've defended him. I've tried to defend him because, yeah, I kind of felt bad for the guy. We were all maybe not taking it as serious as we should because we didn't know. Like I was at the Lakers game. The night before, that was the Brooklyn game. I think it was the night before. Yeah, Wednesday is when the season stopped. Tuesday, I was at the Lakers game. I'm sure I probably shook a couple hands. Hey, how you doing? Everything good? Like, it just hadn't really dawned on you yet how serious it was. So I think we're over Rudy Are you over Rudy Gobert? I'm good on Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, I'm good with him. I'm good with him now. We realized how serious it was, and it wasn't all his fault. But, yeah, he took some heat for a while.
Oh, he took a ton of heat. But, Kirk, the players, or I felt like the NBA, they were the leaders from the beginning. And here we are today. The last couple of months, you know, Adam Silver kept saying, okay, hey, this is what we're thinking. This is where we are. This is where we're going. We need another 2 or 4 weeks to decide. You just kind of always had this. You felt like the train was moving. And now we got a season on the horizon. And baseball, I don't feel like they moved one inch. So just as you were kind of comparing, it's great to have positivity around sports because it's been a while since we've had anything, truly positive.
Absolutely. It's been too long. Right. We've been waiting and we still got to wait. You know, it's not like it's happening tomorrow, but
I know
you do see now you see the light at the end of that tunnel. Right. There was no light before, but now it was a glimmer. And now that light started to shine a little bit brighter.
Kirk, it's funny when you said we still got a little bit to wait. When I saw them come out with, you know, the dates, I'm like, when? We got to wait till the end of July, until August. But
right.
It's going to obviously give them the proper amount of reps to get back and get going. OK, Kirk. So one of the things that I really want to get into. I just want to get your thoughts, your opinion over the last week, where we are today, just as a society in the world. Let's do that and we come back because I think I'm really looking forward to your perspective on some of the different things that are going on. Obviously, there are an incredible amount of players stepping up right now and trying to not just raise awareness, but use their platforms as an opportunity for change. I want to get your thoughts on that. So let's do that when we come back. All right, stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. I appreciate you guys tuning in on a Friday night. Kirk Morrison in the house as well. Kirk, all right, let's just kind of get into it. Can you give me your thought process, just everything going on right now? How are you feeling? I mean, tell me what goes through your mind right now when you turn on the TV and you see these protests. You see them not just in L.A. You see them not just in the country, you see them really worldwide. I mean, it is there is as much awareness as you can possibly have or possibly want. Twitter, Instagram, it sounds like a critical, important time. Just give me your thoughts of what you've kind of seen over the last 7 days or so.
Wow, so many emotions, right? And it all goes back to May 25th, Monday. The death, the murder,
murder. Call it, I would use Floyd. Murder. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of George Floyd. That's when it started. And it started there, and the emotions for many, not just the black community, I think people started to be outraged at the video of what we saw, right? We saw a man lose his life in front of it, and everybody saw it. And it's like, come on, man, that this isn't supposed to happen. And you could just see it boiling and boiling. And finally, we saw protests and we saw riots. And then we've now seen the unity, right? We're at the stage where the anger has now subsided a little bit to where now it's about action. The protesting is still ongoing. I've seen it before, but I've seen a lot of unity as well over the last couple days. How many communities have now come together? You've seen people of all color, of all races. You mentioned not just the United States, but countries outside of the U.S. Mm-hmm. And them having their own protests and just getting the awareness out. So I've been an emotional roller coaster. It was something I didn't want to talk about early when it first started because there is, you know, some things that I've experienced in my life that obviously, you know, you think about because of what's going on now. But yet time, you allow that to kind of permeate a little bit. And then you're able to try your best to explain, you know, to basically tell your story, tell what you've seen. And I think what I've seen over the last, I would say more so 4 to 5 days is been beautiful, man. It really is. It has. I mean, outside of some knuckleheads and, you know, people who are, you know, looting and rioting, I don't believe in that. I don't condone that. I don't, you know, seeing people breaking windows and looting and all of that, I don't like that part of it. But what I've seen from people and the understanding of people, man, it's been awesome, because we are still not where we want to be, but I still see so much promise, so much hope, so much faith. And to see the changes that I think now by so many people and understanding, you know, I've been on some conference calls this week. And I'll say this, Alan, I've had people I've talked to this week that we work in the same company, but yet we have not talked much, I would say, more so in passing. But a lot of it was, I'm sorry, I had no idea, or I didn't know, you know, and genuinely didn't really understand a lot of times for me what my reality is as a black man in the world, or definitely in the U.S. A lot of, you know, people really didn't know. They didn't understand it. Right. And Colin Kaepernick a long time ago told people, and they were like, man, this guy is about himself. He's protesting a flag and the military. And that never was the case. It was about,
of course it wasn't. It's about police brutality. Obviously it wasn't.
It was about police brutality. It's about what we're going through now. And people are starting to see what can be wrong or what is wrong within certain parts of our police enforcement. Not all cops are bad. And I will never say that. Like, I will never come on and say, man, I hate the police. I don't. The police are to serve and protect. But in that bag of apples, there are a couple bad ones. And I can't say that they've affected all of them, but they've affected many people's lives. You know, and when people have lost their lives due to police and their excessive force, man, that's the stuff that people are talking about now. That's what this whole thing is about. Now, look, some other issues have now come about as well, right? Systemic, you know, obviously the racism, systemic oppression, all of that has now started to rise up, and people are starting to see that. And when you hear Black Lives Matter, and people are saying, well, all lives, we're not saying that all lives don't matter. We're saying that Black lives matter just as much as everyone else's, because right now this is a critical time in our country that people who are in law enforcement have used excess force and people have lost their lives, and it shouldn't be that way.
Kirk, I'm Kirk Morrison on the Sliwa Show. He'll be on till 8 o'clock. So, Kirk, you know, one of the things that this is, I love having your perspective, and there are many reasons for it. Number one, you know, you're one of my favorite guys to work with. Anytime, you know, we talk on the station, I think we could have great educated conversations. We could mess around too, but I enjoy these type of conversations. It's very simple for me to say this. I don't feel like I can, I only know what I know. So I can't say, Kirk, I know what it's like to walk in your shoes, because I literally don't, right? So for me, even if I don't pay attention to what somebody's race is, what their religion is, what their gender is, like, I don't pay attention. I don't care. Who's the person? Tell me who the person is. What's their heart? Good to go. But I don't know, you know, personal experience that other people have gone through, because I haven't gone through those. That's why, you know, when we have a conversation, it's great. One of the things I mentioned to start the show, we got to be educated more, right? Like, I'd love for you to kind of teach where you're coming from, because I could just use Drew Brees as an example. You know, what was that yesterday? Drew Brees, since Colin Kaepernick was, you know, kneeling during the national anthem, and you and I both know, and a lot of other people know why he was doing it. He's doing it to raise awareness on police brutality. There's still so many people that still think he's doing it and it's to disrespect the flag or disrespect the troops. That's why I think these conversations are so important. So many times now you go on social, there isn't enough teaching. There's just – it's all about preaching. You know what I mean? Like, but we need the education. There's a lot of people out there that need to see it from a different perspective. Your perspective, I love to listen to.
Well, before I even give you my perspective, I know a guy who has been in the news the last couple of days, and I know you were probably going to get to it, and hopefully I don't take away the thunder.
No, that you're good. Do your thing.
Already had, but Drew Brees, quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, a guy who I know very well, was drafted to San Diego as a Charger in 2001 when I was at San Diego State. So I watched the early parts of his career, how he battled with Doug Flutie and then took over the starting quarterback job as I got drafted into the NFL. Right before they drafted a guy named Philip Rivers.
Yep.
And I saw that he had to battle with that. He had an injury. They didn't re-sign him. He goes to New Orleans as a free agent, signs there instead of Miami, and the rest is kind of history. He's had a record-breaking career. He's helped rebuild a city that was going through Hurricane Katrina. He's been deeply invested in his roots in New Orleans. And, you know, obviously he came under fire this week for some comments that he made about the flag and about protesting. Now, he has since apologized.
Sure.
And he's basically had to go about saying, hey, my actions will speak louder than my words. Mm-hmm. I told people I was upset with Drew. I was hurt. I don't say I'm no longer his friend. You know, I just spoke with him. We're at the Pro Bowl every year. He grants me an interview and we sit down and we just talk. We talk about football. We talk about how his career is doing. My last interview with him is up on my Instagram now at Kirk Morrison. And so this is a guy who we've respected. We've worked out together. I always love competing against him, his family, his friends, everything. So when I heard some of the comments that he had made, I said, man, Drew is just tone deaf right now. I don't believe this is in his heart. I believe that in his mind, this is what he's thinking. In his heart, he's got to open up a little more and be a little more understanding of where our country is now. I say all of that, Alan, right now, just because Drew Brees is starting to do the action, right? And for people who haven't seen it yet, he's just posted on his own personal verified Instagram account, and hopefully I'm not taking thunder away. I won't know we're up against a break, but he just had a post just now. He posted just now on his Instagram, and he posted it to Donald Trump, the president, President Trump, I should say.
That's right.
And he says, through my ongoing conversations with friends, teammates, and leaders in the black community, I realize that this is not an issue about the American flag. It never has been. We can no longer use the flag to turn people away or distract them from the real issues that face our black communities. We did this in 2017, and I regretfully brought it back with my comments this week. We must stop talking about the flag. We must shift our attention to the real issues of systemic racial injustice, economic oppression, police brutality, and the judicial and prison reforms. We are at a critical juncture in our nation's history. If not now, then when do we do this? And then he further goes on and says, we as a white community need to listen and learn from the pain and suffering of our black communities. We must acknowledge the problems, identify the solutions, and then put this thing into action. The black community cannot do this alone. This will require all of us. Man, that's powerful. That's from an elite quarterback in the National Football League, a day one first ballot Hall of Famer. Almost I won't say every single one of them, but man, you talk about his name etched in the NFL's record books going into action. I mean, that's something, right?
So, Kirk, that's not just something, that's incredibly vital and important. Let's keep hitting on this when we come back. I appreciate you reading that as well. I did not know that that just went up, and it literally just says on the Instagram post, it just says to President Trump. Obviously, he's responding to a tweet that President Trump had earlier today. We'll continue this conversation. Kirk Morrison joining the Sliwa Show. Stay right here, 710 ESPN.